Tom and Steve from KPFA going to bring us a motion to support the program being developed at their station through that training program. So that's all that we've come up with so far. I would suggest if someone else has another idea of support or guidelines or boundaries, that something be submitted to actually vote on. Otherwise, it's just a conversation.
All right, may I make a suggestion? I would propose that we set up a, we go along with both Steve and Tom working on something, but we set up a temporary task force to sort of work this through as a problem. Given the kind of different, very good points that people have made, quality, Maxie was making quality control issues, which are valid, and other things. I'd like to at least get a bunch of us thinking together or talking together about, because I would go and talk to the people that I know in the city and say, hey, this is a possibility. How could we do this? And I don't want to sort of stop with that. So I just propose a task force be formed right now and people work together and think this through as something that we could implement down the road pretty quickly.
Okay, so is that a motion?
That's a motion. To form a task force to work on this issue.
A task force.
The video stream issue. Audio streaming issue. Simultaneously, might as well knock both of them out at the same time.
Issue. An audio streaming issue. Okay.
Can I call the question?
That's fine. Is there any objection to forming a task force to work on this audio streaming issue?
Second.
Kevin, I had a question. How soon is the task force going to report back to their findings or their recommendations to the full committee?
I think that's something we have to flesh out. So do we want to start with indeed forming a task force? Then we can have a discussion on what that will look and be like and be.
Yes. Second.
Captain, I just have a point of clarity.
Bring a second.
I just have
Who's
need
that?
Some clarity on something. This is Maxie. I just need some clarity on one thing. Is this is this the same thing as what Tom and the folks at KPFA are talking about doing, or is this something different? Is this including inclusive of that group, or is that?
Catherine, Madam Chair, this is Sabrina.
I'll put you on the staff.
I'd like to answer his question because this proposal as far as Steve and Tom are concerned, that's coming from Steve and Tom.
I
want to make that clear.
Hold on, Sabrina, please. Before we move on, I'm just saying that I heard no objections to forming the task force. Is there an objection to forming a task force? None. Okay. So we're forming a task force. Go ahead, Sabrina.
I just want to make it
Sabrina?
Clear that this is a... Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can.
Okay, great. Okay, great. So, yeah, I just want to make this clear. This is coming from Tom, and this is coming from Steve. Tom Voorhees and Steve Zeltzer. This isn't something that's coming as a blanket idea from KTFA as a whole. This is something that they are pushing for. And just to reiterate what Maxie said as far as quality, there's a lot of crap out there. And the few attempts that we have made as far as doing video streaming, they've been less than stellar. And I think that this definitely wants to back up the fact that we do need to have a task force before we even think about trying to roll anything out, needs to be formed. That needs to happen. It's very, very, very important that we pay attention to quality. Thank you.
Okay. So we have elected to form a task force as a subset of this committee. to work on this audio streaming. So this leaves us with a few problems. We're at the end of our session very soon, unless we vote to have another meeting, which we can do. I believe there is a date set on the calendar for 2 weeks, but we have to choose to do that. And perhaps one of the things we could do at that meeting is define the task force, because from my perspective, it's probably going to flow into the next forming of the committee. At least that's how it seems to me. So is any else want to... I believe we're out of time for this
Catherine, discussion.
This is Eric. I think that's fine. I just need about 15 seconds.
Yeah, Eric, I heard you first. Eric, go ahead.
The meeting in 2 weeks... this is clearly something we're not going to do overnight, but in terms of the meeting being in 2 weeks, this does seem to be a very important topic here. And there was an issue about the meeting being held today. I'm just going to say the bottom line is we don't have to, if we can find out if there's an objection to us having a meeting a week from now, unless somebody objects, if I can ask you, Catherine, to determine if there's an objection to a meeting a week from now.
Okay, is there any objection to having a meeting next week on this task force? No objections. Okay, so I'll ask the secretary to set up a meeting next week to flesh out whatever this task force will be. Maxie, you're up.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get clarity. Tom Voorhees, Steve specifically, have been talking about a pilot project. It may not be, as Sabrina said, it may not be a KPFA thing, but at least Tom and Steve are advocating for piloting something. Are we talking, is that the same as the task force, or is that something separate? I'm just trying to get my bearings on. Is this the same thing?
I can give you my sense of it, Maxius.
Okay,
my sense is that it is inclusive of that, but not limited to that. We've had a motion, several motions on the table here on this issue that we've been going back and forth on as well. And I know that there are certainly people in New York and probably other stations who are eager to get involved in this process, to put their energies here. So from my sense, it would be good to have a task force to set up those perimeters, whatever they might be, in terms of the scope and the quality controls that would be needed for people who want to, at various stations who want to go forward. That's my sense.
Yes. No, I appreciate that. I wasn't asking because I have a problem with either. I just was trying to understand if we were talking about the same thing or two separate things. But so I appreciate the clarity. Thanks.
Okay, Doug.
I didn't mean the meeting had to be limited to this topic, but...
Oh, I see. Okay. So just to have a meeting next week?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Unless there's any objection, it will be a meeting to discuss what we need to discuss next week. Okay. So next, we have a motion that you, Jim, wanted to bring to the fore. Would you like to read that motion, please?
Yeah, this is a motion on it's a resolution on arts and cultural programming, and I start the resolution whereas the Pacifica mission states that, and it's the second part of the mission statement which deals with the arts, in broadcasting operations to encourage and improve outlets for creative energies, drama, writing, music, etc. And I'm going to start to read because I'm sure all of us are familiar with that. And thus states in clear, unambiguous language that it shall be the objective of the foundation to foster the cultural and artistic wellsprings of the people in the communities each Pacifica station is located. It will be the policy of the foundation to foster actively support and participation with fine arts, theatrical, musical, dance, cinematic, and all forms of artistic expression, from established institutions to grassroots movements that embody the richness and diversity of their local communities, the people of the United States, and the world. And I have a whole bunch of stuff. This can be embodied in directly fostering, relations with artistic communities of all types, doing the kind of things we did in New York before we lost 120 Wall Street, when I brought in 10 theater groups to use those empty spaces to rehearse and produce plays, including oppositional groups. The Occupy Wall Street Theater Group was doing a show on that guy who did the transsexual change, the PFC, who was the source for WikiLeaks. And basically the idea is to reestablish the fact that part of our mission is to be embodied in the cultural and artistic life of the communities that we're in. All right? And that's something that we sort of have seemed to stray away from. And I know in my goings on in the city, when I was going out looking for and discovering the problems of getting foundation money, the greatest allies we have in New York City, and I'm not talking now about the rest of the country, is those people in the fine arts community who are my age, who are, you know, baby boomers, but not only that, but young people who are doing exciting things. These are our natural allies. And the whole gist of that resolution is to essentially, as a station and as a system goal, to reestablish ourselves interlinking with those artistic communities. And I can give you tons of examples in New York about how that was part of the process of how the station rose. I know that's true of KPFA with its relationship with the Beat Generation in the 50s and other things. It's true with every single signal station in terms of their relationship with art and music and drama and culture, etc. So that's the purpose of that resolution, to make that an objective in terms of part of what each station does.
Okay. Would anyone like to comment on or ask a question about this motion? Is there any objection to this motion? Okay, hearing none, the motion is passed. All right, next up is to consider how we want to move forward in transferring the body of our work to the next committee. Are there any suggestions for how we want to move forward? Because we have, it looks like, 2 to 3 dozen motions on the table. And so they're going to require the support of the next committee in order for them to be passed.
Because
they have to be, the ones that the committee has passed still have to be processed through the PMB. And the ones that have not yet passed here would still need to be considered. Okay, Eric, go ahead.
It occurs to me, unless there's a better way to do it, that recommendations report would go through, say, for example, the test pilot that Jim and Steve just mentioned. This is obviously not going to be wrapped up by the end of the current term. So, I mean, I would think we would have to develop a report of sorts and then just make a recommendation probably on each motion that we're not able to pass.
Okay. Anyone else?
Tom has a question. How much of a turnover are we expecting?
Excuse me?
I say, how much of a turnover are we expecting? How many people are going to, time out for the PNB members? Do we know how many people are going to turn over or have some idea about that?
Catherine, if,
I don't.
This is Eric. Catherine, this is Eric. My last day is March 12th. So I'll be cleaning up my desk March 12th.
Okay, so that's the date when everything turns over?
Yeah, or and having said that, they don't, this may be a footnote, they don't have a full complement of people to fill the board, but that's probably a separate issue. But my last day of the office is March 12th, yeah.
Okay, anyone else have an answer to that question? My sense is that anything could happen.
Yeah.
But we won't know until the elections are complete.
Well, from Tom here, I'm thinking we ought to be thinking how we're going to transfer the motions and the items that we currently have in front of us. How are we going to get those turned? The understanding of what those are and how they've developed and why they're necessary or not. How are we going to get that kind of understanding transferred to the new members of the committee?
It's a good question. Eric suggested we put together a recommendations report on what we have. We could include, perhaps as part of that recommendations, that they invite someone from this committee in if it turns out that there's nobody still on the committee next time to speak to them about it. But it would be up to them to take it up.
Them is who?
Whoever is forming the next programming committee.
Okay, so, I mean, we're not going to formally disband what we have, I hope.
Well, the motions that we've passed have already been submitted to the PMB. It's a matter of record. So anyone on the next PMB can bring them up again. The motions that have not passed would still have to be voted on within the committee. So, yeah, I think it's all we can do is to make the recommendations. And perhaps some of the same people who are here now will be on the committee next time.
Well, I would certainly hope so in order to try to maintain as much continuity as we've managed to establish since the committee started meeting again after a pretty long hiatus back there.
Yes, so Jim has brought that up many times. What we are is where we are. And let's endeavor to have efficient meeting next week so that we can come to terms with how we're going to do that. We can spend some time doing that this week. We still have another hour of this meeting. So we can spend some time making those decisions now. Anyone else like to speak on this issue?
Yeah, I just had a question.
Cliff to the stump.
Eric?
I'm sorry,
Cliff.
Go ahead.
Eric, who is that, Eric?
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you could get a sense of, from this meeting, if we have a good opportunity to make quorum next week.
It's fine. I think it's something to concerning. Is there anyone here who already is aware that they cannot come to a meeting next week? Okay, hearing none, we have a good chance of making quorum next week.
Thanks, Catherine.
All righty. Cliff?
Yeah, with regard to the matter of the new board or new members coming on, maybe it would be a good idea now to those of us who know we'll be here, you know, in March and April should state that, you know, we will be here and to continue with the group as whatever it is.
Okay.
I know I'll be here for this next year. Probably others of us know that as well. So you give us some sense of who'll be continuing this process.
Okay,
Catherine,
so you
want to
get a sense?
Yeah. Catherine, if I may, Cliff, the only problem with that, or to say in general, if you have more than a basic complement of people who want to join this committee, at least in Washington, we hold an election.
So I see what you mean.
You're just wanting to be on the committee. Well, not in itself.
You're right. You're right. I forgot. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anyone else would like to speak to this discussion about how to transfer this information for the next committee, or I think it's going to be a situation we have to work with as it happens, but. That's just me. Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Jim, to the staff.
Yeah, Jim.
Maxie, are you here? Still on the line?
I am.
Is Max? Okay. A lot of these resolutions that I've been offering are basically like the kind of things I'm sure, you know, I know you basically, most of them I'm pretty sure you agree with. It's just a question of implementation and timing. And a lot of them have to do with, basically common sense from my perspective and based on 25 years of experience in the system, things that need to be done. And I tried to make them pretty vanilla in terms of staff training, technical needs, podcasting policy we still haven't gotten to. And of course people can change them, but most of them I think are, you know, the kind of things I'm trying to, you know, incorporate the trends that I see going on in media and radio that can put us back into a cutting-edge position. And again, you know, we need the resources. I don't disagree that the key problem is to increase the amount of people listening to the content. That's the key issue, and how to do that. I don't know what other people will think when this, committee changes, but at least I feel that we've given some people some ideas that they can work with and change around if they want.
And your question for Maxie is?
I just was saying to Maxie that, you know, he's read a lot of this stuff, and I'm sure that some of it, you know, he said to me, yeah, you know, it's cool, but, you know, maybe we can do it now, do it later.
Would that be a fair respond by saying? No, I'll just respond by saying that I think you've outlined it properly. I'll just leave it at that. I think whatever the committee looks like moving forward, we've got a lot to work with, and I think it's just putting heads together and making sure that we come up with ways to make it implementable in a way that, in my mind, doesn't put undue pressure on the stations, but at the same time moves us towards progress.
Yeah, the key thing that I'm always worried about is the issue of coming up with the $3.2 to $3.8 million in about 2 years. And as far as I can see, one of the major things that has to happen is that the amount of people listening to each station has to increase. And certainly that's true in New York. And that's where my head is at on all this stuff. I mean, you know, whatever people have other solutions to this. They want to do a PSOA. They want to do this and do that. I would like to not have to get to the point where we haven't accomplished that. And since we've got a year and a half, or we've got till October to start paying the interest, the more we can do to improve the stations and the content and reception of the audiences, the better, as far as I'm concerned, throughout all the stations.
Okay. I think your motivation has always been clear. if I should say. So we've covered just about everything on the agenda, I believe, except there's space, Maxie, if you want to make a report or recommendations or to take questions. Are you in mind to do that?
I do. I just have a few things, three items in particular, and I may not do the third depending on the temperature in the room. But real quick, just as we have as an organization, all the stations agreed to become members of the greater public organization, which will help us with all of our revenue centers, generating revenue through membership drives and major donor support and cultivating all the different revenue centers. I'm also looking at possible membership through the PRPD, which is the Public Radio Program Directors Association. We've talked on this committee call in particular about needing to improve what we air on our stations. Public Radio Program Directors is in many respects a think tank around best practices. They do a lot of research on programming. They establish public media core values. I think that's something that I challenge a lot myself, and I think it'd be fascinating for Pacifica and community radio to do its own set of core values, but even learning the methodology that they go about to do that would be, I think, a useful tool for us. They also provide what's called a program director's handbook and a talk show handbook, two very useful things for our program directors and for anyone putting together a talk show. The best practices, research-based, data-driven best practices, and as you all know, I'm a big advocate for that. So that's something we're looking into. I've been in conversation with the association, trying to figure out what a group buy would cost us. I've been assured we'd get a significant discount, but before we move forward, there's some information I should provide them in terms of our CUMs at our various stations and our NFFS, which is non-federal financials, for them to determine the rate. So that's just something that's in the hopper. I just want to give you a preview that that's coming down the pipe and as something that will be pitched to the stations to consider. If you want to know more about it, go to prpd.org. The second thing on my list, and I can answer questions after if you don't mind, if you have questions. The second thing, I was asked about the status of our stations with respect to audience data. Just as we are flying blind on the revenue side, on the operational side without a budget, you can make the case that anytime you're doing programming without audience data, you are flying blind as well. So here's a quick update on how we fare in that category. Three-fifths of our stations currently subscribe to Radio Resource Consortium audience data. One of the stations that does not needs only to fill out paperwork. It's one of our California stations, and I'm working with them on that. It's just a paperwork issue, and then they, too, can subscribe. And then the third, the last station that does not subscribe, currently has some back pay for the audience data to the amount somewhere around $12,000. I have forwarded the invoices to that station so they can satisfy that debt if it is a priority for them and so that they can be in good standing to receive their ratings moving forward. It should be noted that all stations that are part of Pacifica, because of our credit, must pay quarterly in advance of audience receipt. That's what it was. So we have a long history of not paying for our audience data in a timely fashion. So RRC requires our stations to pay in advance. And they do that for other stations that have the same problem, but our stations in particular are limited to that. And then the last thing I wanted to do is more pose of a question to this committee, and just to get your feedback. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just fascinated by how you think about it because it was something that was brought up to me, actually, in conversations with a gentleman who produces programming nationally in community radio. And it was this notion of, does the BBC make sense as a programming option for Pacifica stations? And he brought up the notion that Democracy Now! Is syndicated content that is not owned by the network, by Pacifica. it is progressive, and perhaps that's the lone differentiating factor from the BBC. But again, is the BBC appropriate content for Pacifica stations to air? I have brought this up with some of the PDs. I'm just curious as to what this committee feels about it. And that's my report.
Eric, Jim to the stack.
Jim to the stack.
Hold on. Ken, did I hear Eric?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eric and Jim. Okay. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry, Ken.
It's Ken.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Ken. Ken was
yeah. KPFT used to, I don't think they're doing it anymore, they used to broadcast BBC. And it required that they had some level of licensing with NPR. So there's a cost factor.
True.
You know, America. If it's free, it's free. And we also used to get a free news programming from Al Jazeera, which I don't know that that's a wise move or not. But the point is, when I asked the person who, you know, Phil Crozier, he knows all about that. You can talk with him about it. And I don't believe it improved their fumes or anything like that. Because it's a question of, as you have brought up many times, what kind of audience are you going after? Who are you trying to acquire? And I don't know. I like the BBC, but I don't know that it would function for us. And it will bring in questions if it requires participation with NPR.
Well, the good thing is, the BBC is distributed actually by American Public Media, so it's not an NPR product anymore, at least. What's fascinating about what you said, though, I lost my train of thought. My bad. So anyway, it's not an NPR product anymore. My bad. But go ahead.
I mean, I concur. I to tell anybody who listened to it, there's lots of news you don't hear anywhere else.
Right. Okay. Now I know what I was going to say. Two things. First and foremost, it does give us a global news product. Two, for international communities in our international markets, it would be a magnet or a draw for those audiences. And another thing, because I did this in Washington, D.C., when I carried the BBC in Washington, it does give a program differentiator from NPR stations. Some of them do carry BBC, but very few of them carry them in significant drive time windows where there could be quite a bit of an audience opportunity, again, because of the quality of the journalism and the fact that it is a global presentation. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Eric.
Yeah, Maxie, thanks. We're at 89.3. I'll make this very short. 88.5 already has, they have BBC now, and they run it from midnight, I think, till about 8 a.m. But having said that, if we do get it, I think it has to be phased in very artistically. It needs to be the lead into something else, or something else needs to be a lead in for it. We just couldn't jump from BBC and go into Miles Davis. I mean, we could, but I don't think we get maximum from it.
Point well made.
But the other thing, I have grave concerns about us being that close to 88.5. I mean, because if you're scanning the dial, for instance, I guess if you're going to the left, you would get us first. But if you get into a BBC contest, but I'm sure that's something that can probably be worked out. But my main question for you, this is something we've been going through for years. You don't have to go through a lot of detail. Are you on top of the CPB funding situation?
Absolutely. I think I gave a lot of background noise. I don't know, folks.
Could people mute, please, if you're not speaking? Mute, please.
I've given reports on this in the past, in the last few weeks. I had a conversation with CPB about how we can reposition ourselves for CSG, Community Service Grant funding.
They gave me a copy of a letter that was provided to Pacifica many years ago as to what we were faulty in. It was a long list of issues that we were not in compliance with. We are looking at how compliant we are now in those matters and how we can satisfy those requirements and therefore be qualified. But it's a long list. It's probably too much for me to share today, but what I can do is make that document available to Catherine so she can then distribute it to the committee. So I'm certainly willing to do that if you'd like that.
If I can just have a quick follow-up. Can I just have a quick follow-up, Catherine, if it's okay?
Yes, go ahead.
I mentioned I should have brought this up earlier. We're right next door to 88.5, which has BBC. We're at 89.3. Do you see that as being what I call a head-on collision? Or is that a concern of yours?
So let me give you a little bit of history, and I'll be brief with this. I used to be the program director at WETA here in Washington, D.C., and it was me who brought the BBC into the market. WAMU started carrying it after that WETA experiment was over, and WETA went back to classical. So they're carrying a care to BBC as a direct result of that. But let's make no mistake. They may carry the BBC from midnight to like 5 in the morning or 6 maybe. They do not carry it during drive time because that's when they do NPR Morning Edition. They probably do carry it maybe at 9 a.m. because there's a popular program called BBC News Hour. But nobody that I know of in any of the NPR markets that we are in, L.A., Berkeley, Texas, Houston, New York, or D.C., no one carries the BBC in evening drive. I think there's an amazing opportunity for us to do that as sort of a counter to our airing of Democracy Now! In the morning as nationally, and then in this case, globally syndicated programming that gives sort of an anchor, if you will, to what we do on a local level and from a progressive standpoint. What we can undeniably articulate is that the BBC is without question the most far-reaching media organization in the world. You can be upset why they are, colonialism, but needless to say, they have a significant footprint around the globe. They have excellent journalism, second to few, if not to none. They have amazing resources on the digital side that we could take advantage of. And fourth, it does give us an opportunity, if we program it properly, to go after international communities that I would argue probably have more of a progressive lean, or at least one complementary to many of the social justice issues that we so readily come to the attention to. I think it would be a parallel there. So you're right to say that we have to be smart in how we program it. We certainly have to look at market by market. But I think that there's an opportunity if, in fact, it's something that our member stations would find viable for us to consider it as a programming scenario that could make sense for us.
Thank you.
Jim, so and then I'm putting myself on the stack.
Yeah. I'll just, I've been sort of amused lately that people have been talking about program councils. The BBC was offered to Pacifica for free. In 91-92, I was on the program council when it was offered, and KPFT, I think, is the only station that took it. And I'm 110% in favor of the BBC being on, period. The responses of some at the time at the station at BAI was, even though they listened to the BBC, their argument was it's imperialist radio. And I said, yeah, but it's pretty good imperialist radio. And the issue of it reaching out and being well produced was clear. And so it was a bunch of hypocritical BS that people who were opposing the BBC would go home and listen to. We always used to laugh about that. So I personally think having the BBC on, excellent idea, long overdue. It should have been done back in 91-92. And the only reason it wasn't done was that some people felt that it would, hurt the image of the station, which is ridiculous because the BBC is, as you said, is one of the most widely listened to broadcast institutions in the world. I've certainly listened to people in Africa common peasants sitting there with their radio listening to the BBC World Service. Now, that raises another question about the other aspects of the World Service, which include the Africa news, which I think would be really interesting to be able to get. But I'm 110% in favor of it. Long overdue. Do it, man.
Yeah, in fact, I just add that what you said about the Africa programming is essential, actually, because in markets like New York and Washington, D.C., and you could argue in Houston, there are huge pan-African communities that are familiar with the BBC. You should know the Africa service of the BBC is actually their largest programming service. So it just goes to show you that there's an enormous opportunity out there if we were to take advantage of it.
And just to add, if we could get the Africa service on in the local market,
you can.
That would be an excellent thing. That would be terrific.
Yeah.
Along with the world news broadcast.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. I'm putting myself on the stack. I'm not particularly in favor of it. I'm not particularly against it. I would be very concerned about what's being chosen and, you know, the spectrum of programs and how much time it would be taken. And, you know, so I do have those concerns that Jim just now slandered with his opinion. But so my concern is that I'm looking at what's happening at BAI. And I'm seeing 7 hours of programming being laid in that are very much Eurocentric programming. I don't see a balance that's taking place. And so I would be concerned to be bringing in more programming that's going to be displacing local programming and that's going to be displacing a spectrum of voices and perspectives. I consider the BBC to be sort of like, what is that radio that they have overseas sometimes from America?
Voices of America.
Voices of America that kind of has political agendas. And so I think that that really has to be looked at and thought about. And not just taking it because, you know, of a certain class of programming that it provides. Because I see in New York programming relative to people such as myself and other people of color being extinguished. And I don't want to see that continue. So that's a big concern for me.
Yeah, no, Catherine, you make excellent points. And I think everything you said is very valid. First and foremost, one of the problems that happened specifically in New York that I think is also something we have to address across our entire network is representational programming. Houston did a great study of the market and revealed how disproportionate the programming was not reflective of people of color, in particular Hispanics and African Americans in Houston on our Pacifica station there. The same clearly can be said of New York, particularly with what was done at the turn of the year with the programming changes there. So, and again, we've got this issue, I would argue, at every station. When I was in L.A., we heard from Spanish language folks about programming discrepancies that they had there. And we know that there are opportunities that we're missing. I'm a huge advocate, as you know, of community engagement. I think we resolve these issues that you bring up by embracing a community engagement approach to not only programming, but program scheduling. And I think we can develop programming that speaks more universally and has voices that are more reflective of the diversity in our communities. We're the last organization in media that should not reflect the market that we serve. So one of the things I'm going to strongly advocate for that. So as it relates to the BBC, two quick thoughts on that. Number one, many of their presenters, despite their British accents, actually are people of color, Middle Eastern, Asian, African, etc. Number two, their journalism is excellent to the point where I don't know if I would argue that I am concerned. I won't say it that way. I'm not concerned
that they are a representation of the Queen or the King of England and colonialism and imperialism and all those things. I think they've actually gotten into a lot of trouble from funding, with respect to funding in the UK, because they do not shepherd sort of the perspective of those, of the folks there. They are a global service. They are highly protected from reliable journalistic firewalls, in large part because they are funded by a tax on technology and not through the government in a traditional sense in the way that CPB funds us. So I would argue they're probably less compromised than we are as a CPB licensed or qualified station, if you will, in terms of the impact of politics and the like. So while they're not perfect, I don't think there's any question their service has the highest journalistic quality. It has a global reach, and you hear more voices of people who reflect the global society on their programming than anything public radio can offer. And I'm someone who not only went to London twice, spent considerable time learning from them, spent time looking at programming options, carried Caribbean and African and Asian programming from the BBC in Washington, D.C., recognizing the global international community that was served there. And I have no question in my mind that if programmed properly, it could be a nice complement to an even more diverse offering in our local market. So I'm both agreeing with you, Catherine, but also trying to make sure you know that I'm aware of your concern, but also believe that this is one that we can avoid in terms of something that would be contradictory to our values.
Jim, to the stack on this?
Cliff to the stack.
Okay, Cliff, and who was the other person?
Jim.
Jim, okay, Cliff and Jim.
You mentioned that all those stations have problems with representation, and I'm sure that WPFW does as well, but frankly, we're an African-American station. I think we're the only station in which representation is on such a large level. A great majority of our programming is done by African-Americans, and I think it says a lot for D.C. and for the people who live in this area.
I would agree, but I also think there's an opportunity to service people outside of the African community at PFW in a way that is also reflective of the community. I'm not even talking about the gentrification of D.C. There are other people of color who represent substantial aspects of the global community in Washington, D.C. I guess what I'm really getting at is that we, in all of our markets, we have an opportunity to present a global representation of humanity, a cross-section and intersectionality of people, races, creeds, color, etc. And the closer we can get to reflecting that, to even having a positioning that suggests that that's what we're about, in addition to our progressive stance, I think the better we position Pacifica for the long haul when we consider the browning of America and other aspects of the demographic shifts that are happening here. So I hear you about D.C. I don't disagree. I think it's further ahead than most. But we still got work to do there as well. But your point is well taken.
Jim.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, pushing with digital initiatives, video and audio streaming to create more spaces for the expression of what you say is precisely one of the things that, you know, I certainly been feeling for years. Because in New York, you know, the latest Nielsen ratings show that about 40% of the audience of BAI was African-American, I think 18% Hispanic, rest European-American, but South Asian, pretty insignificant. And Asian-American, pretty insignificant. And that has been the case traditionally in all the stats that I've seen for 30 years. And that means that, you know, to really go out and do the hard work, you know, and to me the hard work is like, you know, part of it's like, you know, leveraging the kind of connections that everybody has. I remember last time you mentioned McGrace, you know, introducing you to her friends in L.A. But, you know, all of us have these kind of connections, you know, and then going into communities.
Yeah.
And New York and that's, to me, going to the community boards of New York City in teams. The LSB could do it, and, you know, have this sort of green light from the GM, which I'm sure one could get, and say, look, we're here. We want to talk to you guys. We want to allow you, you know, what's going on in your community? How can we serve or be interacting with your community? And in the case of New York, every single community board reflects the 50 to 60,000 people who live in that neighborhood, which are people from everywhere in the world at this point. So that's the kind of stuff that can be done. And I know that when a Bangladeshi TV operation, Eric, I remember you corrected me, but, you know, the guy identified himself like that. They came and approached us and wanted to do stuff with us in TV. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on all over the place, and we just can't – that's why we have to really reconceive of how we're dealing with all this stuff. I know with PFW, there's a dissertation written about PFW. Eric, you know about that? You guys down at PFW, you ever seen a dissertation about your station? A PhD dissertation about PFW. Well, anyway, I'm more than happy to send that to you guys because I remember it was on the actual – formation of PFW, which I found very revealing and interesting. But all the stations can, you know, benefit from expanding out vertically and horizontally in their areas in terms of who's listening.
Yep. Thanks for that.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Do you want to go to your third thing?
No, that was my third. So I appreciate the feedback and the critical thinking all the way around. So thanks everybody for your input on that.
All right. So that means we're in good shape. We've covered everything on the agenda, as far as I can see. Does anyone else have anything else to share or to bring up? We have a few minutes left.
Can somebody give me the winning lottery number today?
If we could do that, then we'd be in good shape all around, wouldn't we?
That's right. We'd solve all of our problems.
No doubt.
Okay, so hearing none, I'm prepared to adjourn the meeting, but before doing so, is there any objection to adjourning early? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone.
Okay.
Thanks, Maxie.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you, Gaff.
Jim, are you there? Okay.